Welcome to Alex and Annie, the real women of vacation rentals. With more than 35 years combined industry experience, Alex Huesner and Annie Holcomb have teamed up to connect the dots between inspiration and opportunity, seeking to find the one story, idea, strategy, or decision that led to their guests' big aha moment. Join them as they highlight the real stories behind the people and brands that have built vacation rentals into the $100 billion industry it is today. And now, it's time to get real and have some fun with your hosts, Alex and Annie.
Welcome to Alex and Annie, the real women of vacation rentals. I'm Alex.
And I'm Annie.
And we are joined today for the second time by Margot Shmorak, who is the co-founder and CEO of Hostfully. Margot, it's so good to see you today.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
It's been a while since we've seen you. I think we saw you at the women's conference in Durham in Nashville back in December, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And full disclosure, I was like, I traveled so much in the fall. I was just so burnt out on traveling. I mean, I love our industry, but I was like done. Now I'm much better, but
yeah,
it was great to end the year with all of our friends, but I think everybody was equally just exhausted because we just came off Verma, and then like the fall season in the US is just so many shows, but it was good to see you. And so we're starting a new year and hopefully had a great last year, really wonderful, great year. And so love to hear kind of a recap of last year and where you're looking forward for this year.
Last year, it was an amazing year for the company. I don't know how many people know this, but the year previous, we had made a bunch of investments in our team and we grew our team. And that year was like a little rocky because there were a lot of startups that started to kind of like get nervous towards the end of the year and really sharpen things up in the business to make sure everything was effective. And so we were really committed to a couple of things at Hostfully, you know, shoring up our customer success and support organizations, investing a little bit in sales, but also in product and mainly the customer facing functions. And so we made a bunch of big bets in the business in the end of 2021 and had to kind of like hold firm through 2022 and 2023 to make sure that they all panned out. But 23 was a great year because the team had been in place for some time and all of a sudden, like things just started to gel. You know, like we had an amazing year. We had actually zero employee attrition all year long. We had incredible growth. We had several months of cash flow positive from a business perspective. We're just in a really, really great situation these days. And I think we were able to thoughtfully invest in the product and thoughtfully invest in the way that we work with customers in more sophisticated ways than we've been able to in the past. And it's felt really, really great, especially in the kind of the context of like impending inflation and like going on with the industry and like lots of M&A happening in vacation rental software. You know, we were able to just like kind of hunker down and do a good job. Basics.
That's awesome. Yeah, you have to have the foundation right to be able to move forward and refine, you know, what that future vision is for the company. And you mentioned a lot of conferences last year. There was a lot of conferences, and I think you guys probably went to just about every single one of them. But, you know, in those different events that you've been to and being around different, you know, types of property managers, sizes of property managers, has your vision for who Hostfully caters to changed at all? Or are you still on the same mission of being able to provide a service no matter what size PM it is? Or is there like a sweet spot that you've refined to?
Yeah, I mean, we see ourselves gradually moving up market. So like we did have like a little bit of a larger customer, an average customer that's larger last year. But actually the investments that we're making that are going to the product kind of the end of 2023 and into 2024 are really going to cater to larger customers. We're rolling out some exciting features around multi-unit, around AI, both in terms of messaging and also in terms of the guest experience, like a self-service API tool, which is actually already in our guidebooks today. What else? Oh, we're also, we've also been working on upgrading our API. And this is all kind of like background platform stuff, but it's really important, especially for larger customers, to be able to operate at scale with a lot of security around how their data works. So we've been investing in that. So yeah, we are gradually moving up market. I think as our company grows and gets bigger though, we're like better at finding the kind of customers that are the right fit for us. And so one of the really exciting conferences we went to was in Mexico. We went to Expo RV, which is a wonderful conference put on down there by Manuel. It's like a totally different vibe than the ones in the States, actually.
It looks amazing. Yeah. I've seen the pictures from it. It looked so cool.
It's so fun. And actually I met a couple amazing women there who were also like like you all, like just have had a really long and storied and interesting career. And they were like, yeah, I wanted to come to Mexico. And like, I happen to have a property here. And one was like, I don't even have properties here, but
I'm check it out.
So you should definitely think about it. It's a really fun conference. But that conference was interesting because we were in a new market. I mean, speaking Spanish, which is like a whole other thing, but lots of customers very excited about the kind of like lightweight, nimble, but tech forward solution that we offer. And I don't think our messaging has actually changed that much. I think the industry has been shifting and maturing. And so now our message is more appropriate for more customers, but I don't know if we've actually shifted that much in terms of the strategy for Hostfully. That's pretty much remained the same.
I was reading some Skift reporting this week and they were talking about where the demand is going to be kind of globally. And there's a lot of demand that's going to be in South America and Asia. And I remember back when I was at Expedia back in like 2012, 2013. And it was a very similar situation. Like Brazil was really growing. And that was when like China was really starting to travel all over the place. So it seems kind of going back to those days when it was like the Asia and South American markets were really big. Do you see you guys growing? Because I know you do global, but I think your biggest footprint is in the US, if I'm correct, right?
It is. It's about like, I think 75% of our business somewhere around there is in the US. Yeah. Have some business in Europe. We had like kind of a long tail of like other regions that we're in, but we're really excited about Europe. We're excited about Mexico, Central America, regions like Costa Rica and like the Dominican Republic, places like that. Yeah. Brazil and Argentina have really unique challenges around payments. And those markets are very challenging for an outsider to be able to do very well because of the challenges that they have around facilitating money, basically. And so we don't see ourselves leaning into those markets as much as Mexico and other parts of Central America that are just a little bit easier to do business in.
Yeah. Makes what sense. About the Asian market? Is that some, because the Asian, I feel like Asian travel overall, there's a lot of opportunity there, but I know in talking with people, the technology for them is very, again, challenging. And I don't know if it's money or if it's just the whole landscape of it.
It is really more about the payment processing than anything else. So a lot of the payment, like we use Stripe and PayPal, a vacation rent payment, as the third-party payment processors that we work with at Hostfully. And, you know, even if we were to build our own, those Asian markets are very different. Like China, totally different, right? And like Vietnam, this is a market where we actually have a lot of our team members, also very different in terms of payment processing. So you need to find like a local payment processing partner in some of those markets. And even in China, like there's a lot of rules and challenges around transferring money and, you know, where the traveler's bank account is, where the property manager's bank account is, you know, how many payments, what's the fees, like it's very complicated. So that's where you really run into some big challenges. And we won't be investing as much into those markets now. Also, accounting is a big deal. You know, in parts of the US, you have trust accounting as a requirement. And in Australia, that's also very common. So that presents new challenges too, because not only do you need to build an accounting solution, but you need to build an accounting solution that works for that region. So we want to be thoughtful about how we have a relatively small team. And honestly, we have a lot of really important features that we just need to roll out at the kind of foundation of our product. So we want to focus on those first before we go into specific geos.
Gotcha. So now at this point, you don't have trust accounting?
We don't have trust accounting. We use partners for that. So we have a QuickBooks integration. We partner with Simplify. We also work with Extend Team. Like there's a couple of third-party services that we work with to help provide our customers an ability to use trust accounting with Hostfully, but we don't provide it as part of the platform. It's a really big one.
There's a lot to provide. And just looking back on PMSs over the last, you know, 5 years, I mean, the development has just been astronomical from what they did at a very core basis to now the things that you kind of have to have. And it's like, if you don't continue to innovate and go in those directions, you can get lost in the dust. But at the same time, you can be kind of okay at a lot of things and really great at one thing. And so it's, you know, I feel like PMSs have to make that decision on what is the main thing that they're going to be really well known for and best in class versus are they going to do everything, you know, kind of okay, or at least up to, you know, basic standards. But how do you make those decisions as you look at new emerging technology that's coming down the line? How do you decide what is going to be something that's going to stay for the long haul? Or is it just a trend and we want to make sure that you're in front of the pack?
Yeah, I mean, it's all customer centric thinking. So it's like, what can our customers absolutely not live without, right? And the first thing they need is bookings. So we must make, if we don't invest in our partnerships with Airbnb, Booking.com, Vrbo, Google, other bookings platforms, like that, that is where we put a lot of our energy and time. We're really excited to be part of special accelerator program with Booking.com. And actually my two co-founders are in Amsterdam this week, working closely with them. So it's funny. I think there's this misconception that in the PMS world, you can kind of build something and then it's, you know, you can kind of add to it, but actually because the OTAs, the, you know, the channels are always developing their APIs and their software, we're constantly needing to innovate with them. And that's a lot of energy to listen to what their roadmap is, to consider how it works with our roadmap, to put in the time and energy on the development efforts to make sure that that's all working properly, to test things, to monitor things. Like, we're spending a lot of energy in making those partnerships really robust. And it's paid off because we're a preferred partner with all three of those the big companies. And there's not that many other property management software companies that are a preferred partner. And if you're out there shopping, by the way, like, don't take my word for it. Go and look at their, you know, their partner, preferred partner website. See who's on there. There's only a handful of property management software companies that actually satisfy the requirements of all the different ones and are like official partners. And that's a really important thing to look for. So that's number one. The number two and number three are a little bit more about like the innovation of customers, of our customer solutions. So the second one I would say is our API. You know, my co-founder Steph built, before this company, he built APIs on the top of social networks. And so we really know how to build great API-centric platforms. And we invest a lot in that. And so that gives our customers tremendous flexibility in how they want to use the software. And also a lot of like transparency and visibility into how it's going to scale. Because you can sort of look at the API documentation and see where we're headed with our product. And then that translates into the number three one, which is our integrations, right? We have over 100 integrations with different software partners around the industry. We're often the first property management software that businesses want to work with because our API works so well. And because we have this healthy network, we really lean into co-marketing and educational opportunities with our integration partners. So in that way, we're like really a tech company. You know, it's like how, like we want to lean into being a tech company. And then of course you have the guidebooks, which offer like a hospitality solution. And then of course you have amazing customer care and support. And for me, it's like, those five things, did my job to make sure that we don't lose sight of those being our core competencies and do really, really well at those. And the other stuff layered on is like the things that, you know, make us a shiny object, and that's fine. But like, we cannot lose sight of those basic core tenets of our strategy.
Those five are vitally important. And I think the service is definitely something that, you know, we hear about this a lot, that property managers, the number one thing they complain about is the service that they get from their property management systems, or lack thereof, lack of communication. But I have heard great things about your service, and I don't know how you do it differently, but it sounds like you figured out something, and maybe it's just having enough people to be able to service your customer base.
You know, I don't think it's about enough, actually. I think there's a couple things. One is we have a heritage of being property managers ourselves. And actually 18% of our staff have been an active property manager of a short-term rental. So there's a lot of empathy, you know, with our customers. And we don't let anyone in the door unless they can like have that empathy and really like reach through the computer and make someone feel like that they are listening and that they can have a real conversation with a real human. And that involves like being empathetic and being sympathetic, but it also involves like using humor and like, and also designing processes that make it more efficient for people to get to the answer that they want. And like, we just have an outstanding team who really cares. And that really caring thing is actually like the reason why I'm here as the CEO, because my vision for Hostfully was to build a company where everyone is really excited about their job and like loves doing what their job is. Because then there's so much less overhead of energy and time and thrashing around because people are not motivated or they're not doing the right things. It's like, if you hire the right people into the right jobs and they're really passionate, like, you don't have to do much. Like, I don't push hardly ever.
It's interesting. Whenever I see your team out, I think when you go to shows, you know, people are drawn to booths by like the activity. And Alex and I are firm believers in like the energy that you put out there is the energy that you get back. And your booth always has this magnetic energy that you just get completely drawn in. And I've never been at any of the shows with your team where I felt like there was like, it was constant pitching or selling, or it's just, your team is so relationship driven, but not in a bad way, not in a, like that a in your face kind of way. They are just all like, again, they are all on the same page. Everybody's there to provide the service. And I just, the energy is so, it's so palpable whenever you're around the Host Philly booth. Like I love it. And your team is amazing. And it always reminds me like when you guys brought the sloth into kind of your marketing and you go to conferences and the jackets. And you go to the conference now and it's like a really big thing. Like I go now and it's like, I get a picture taken with the sloth and the jacket and Frank and Dave. And like, it's just, I think it just speaks well to what you wanted and the energy that you give, you're getting back from your team, and they're putting it out there in the universe. So I applaud you for that.
I want to show you something. So we had an all hands meeting this morning, and I actually like did a reminder, and which I haven't done in a long time, of one thing I really care about, which I think actually helps the team feel that way. And I thought it'd be fun for your people to see.
Oh, let's see it. Paper? Yeah.
So basically what I was saying is like, I want everyone to be creating time on their calendar for all of these activities, wellness, you know, whether it's working out or whether it's doing music or, you know, whatever it is for you, wellness, eating, make sure you carve out time for lunch, for breakfast, personal time, make sure that you're carving out time on your own or with friends or whatever you need. Work, you know, of course, like we talk endlessly about work efficiency, right? But I wanted to show, and also sleep, which is like the most important thing.
Put it on the calendar so you don't forget.
Well, I basically told the team, like, I want to be explicit that these are priorities for you and that you should be protecting your calendar. And I'm as the CEO and I'm telling you, like, create the time and space for these important parts of your life. And that's like part of being a good employee at Hostfully. And I think like, this is the kind of stuff that creates that energy. It's not about like a mission statement, and it's not really about like getting people excited about the next thing. It's not about paying them more. It's about treating people as humans and respecting them as like whole people. And we really try to do that as much as possible. So I thought that'd be fun to share.
I love that. That's how you build a team. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but I think I have a feeling you think in fives, because you had the five like core tenets of what Hostfully has to do at the end of the day. And then the five things for the calendar and for lifestyle, work-life balance.
And I think I do think in frameworks though. Like here, framework.
Yeah, that's in quarters.
But do now. What is do now? Defer, delegate, and delete. Ooh, yep. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, no, that's all great.
I don't. I'm not always in fives, but yeah.
Okay. But at the end of the day, I think what you're teaching your staff is that, and your team is that, I mean, you're showing them that you care about them and you want them to be happy. You want their well-being within the walls or the virtual walls of Hostfully to be a positive experience, but that they're also able to have their own lives outside of work. And, you know, I think companies can get too hung up sometimes on mission statements and, you know, this and that, but it's like, you know, we're all real people, and this is very much a relationship business with the people you work with. And then that translates to your customers. So, you know, what Annie was saying about your booth is always so just welcoming, and the people are always there. Sometimes I feel like I'm asking more about what's going on with the software now, because they just want to chat, you know, and it is relationship. And that is where business is, you know, really comes from, if it's authentic business. And authentic was the word that we used in the title the last time that you came on the show, which is 100% how I feel that you lead the company, very authentically.
Yeah. I'm, you know, I feel like life's too short to not be authentic.
When you're authentic, the right people and opportunities will make their way to you. And
yeah,
you know, absolutely.
Yeah.
The way to live. Coming off a great year last year, what's your roadmap for this year? I mean, you said you had some new things that were coming, new things that were in the work. I can't even begin to understand from a tech perspective how far out you have to roadmap things to get it done. And again, you throw in, you're dealing with all the other pieces of the industry that you connect with, whether it be the OTAs or these other services. Like, how do you how do you do your roadmap for the year and not get overwhelmed and like really set a vision so you don't get derailed and mired in the details, I guess?
Oh, it's really challenging. to be honest, our roadmap actually extends like 5 years. Now, it doesn't mean that we know with absolute certainty when things are going to get done, but like we have a very, very well built out roadmap that goes very far out. The real challenge is figuring out the prioritization and the dependencies between different things and balancing them. So like balancing, you know, stuff that's coming up for customers with like a new thing that we want to release. And we have several people in our team, actually our two lead product people are active daily users of the product. So that really helps.
Definitely.
And then of course, David's also an active daily user of the product. So, you know, we have on our senior leadership team, we have people who will heavily empathize with all the challenges that our customers have today. And then also we're excited about where the company can be going when it comes to changes. Some of the exciting things this year are a new version of our API, which is going to be better and just more functional and more scalable. Our multi-unit capabilities. So we have a lot of customers coming to us and they want different ways of managing their inventory that we can't offer today. Yeah. So we're going to be working on that. We've got this wonderful mobile app, which is really one of the top performing ones in the industry. It took us a long time to get it out, but when we did, we just had a tremendously positive response to it. We're making additional changes to that because we know that a lot of property managers are on the go and they need to be able to do what they need to do, you know, from their phone. So that's a big priority for us. Also, to support some of our language expansion stuff, we are going to be rolling out some more language flexibility in the product. So it's like, I think mobile is going to be in a couple languages very soon. The platform, the main desktop app will also be localized in new ways. And so like, there's just a lot going on. Let's see, multi-unit. Oh, and then of course, some of the AI stuff. So we have an AI trip generator. It actually works really well. I used it recently to plan a trip to Alaska. It's just in the guidebooks and you could add it. And it's just a little prompt and it has you basically chatting with ChatGPT, but it gives you a little bit of a structure and a framework for how to have that conversation. So it gives you a pretty good itinerary back. We also want to look at, you know, bringing in those capabilities to our messaging platform so that property managers don't have to sit and type up a message or look for a template. There's like a suggested template or there's a suggested message based on history. Those are the kind of things we're looking at for this year, for 2024.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. That is a lot. Yeah. But all necessary things. Yeah. And yeah, I think AI, as far as the messaging thing, I think that's probably where AI is going to have the biggest impact initially for vacation rental managers. That is going to significantly cut down on time and just on being able to improve review scores and, you know, efficiency is going to be, you know, a big thing there too. What about like property descriptions or using anything in there?
We haven't looked at that yet. And I feel like we have a couple partners that might even be doing that already. You know, like the AI stuff, I mean, everybody's running their own little experiments. So yeah, like I'd be surprised if one of our partners actually offered that first before we did, which is like a marketing audit per se, you know, like kind of thing of the properties. Also, this is I mean, someday that would be amazing if we could solve this problem with AI. But, you know, the property descriptions on the different platforms, like there's different SEO for each.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so we do our best to help to help property managers figure out how to manage that. But like one day it'd be really cool if we could use AI for that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, transitioning a little bit, the last time that we had you on the show, you shared just some amazing nuggets of information just on, you know, your own personal development and your own career development and what mentorship has meant to you, and mentorship also in the form of community that you talked about. You had this group of women that got together that were all VC mothers that were raising money, and you all had gotten together. I think it was like your retreat that you had was right around the time of the recording that they all came to your house, and you know, there's just, you know, a lot of great information there. But and you called them micro communities. And I think that's a great way to put it. Annie and I have our own little micro community. We call it the House of Baddies. We've got a great group of gals that are all within the vacation rental industry. And we're all on a group chat that sometimes I look down at my phone. I don't even dare to look how many are on there right now, but it's probably about 60 unread messages at this point that it's just going all day long. Do you have any updates on your group or just any other, you know, insights to share about how much those micro communities have meant to you?
Yeah, I'm actually really excited you asked that question because we just crossed over our 400th member in VC-backed Moms.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. Yeah, congratulations.
It's insane.
How many were there when you, so you came on the show about a year and a half ago?
65 or something.
Yeah, it was around 50.
Yeah, significant, yeah. Right? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So it's been amazing. And it's just, that group is so cool because as a business owner, and I'm sure you two can relate and people listening to this too, like you got to have a group where you can talk about the ups and the downs, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
one of the most proud things that happened that I'm proud about is two things. First of all, it's a mom's group. So, well, I'll address the less exciting thing and then the more exciting thing. The first thing is a mom's group. So of course you're going to talk about breastfeeding and what everybody did to
mom
and breastfeed. And I did this. And we had this very long discussion last week with no judgment. It was like, this is what I did. This is what worked for me. Like, do whatever works for you. And, you know, just sharing my best practices. And it was like a really lovely conversation. So I was just like proud. Good job, everybody, for like being and doing that. The second thing that happened, which is a little bit sad, but it's good, is it that women started saying openly, like, I need to shut down my company. And I would really love some help and support, just emotional support as I do it, but also just like, tell me, like, how do I do this?
Oh, right?
How do I shut down my company? Like, what do I say? Who do I talk to? How do I communicate to different team members? Like, how do I move on to the next thing? What do you wish you would have known? And sometimes those I'm going to shut down my companies end up being like, oh, I'm going to be purchased by another company. Like sometimes they can turn out, you know, in ways that you didn't expect. And to just have a community where like you can just go and be like, yeah, it's not working. And like, I need some help, or I need to know how people have gone through this challenging situation, or it's whatever, you know what I mean? With motherhood, with relationships, with company building, I think that it's so important to have that safe space. So that's just been really, really cool. And 400 members. I mean, I have, I'm on the admissions committee. I have like 16 emails right now in my inbox from new people who've applied since January 1st.
Wow. Great. And do you I'm sure you must do some sort of events that you're not just hosting at your house anymore with that number.
There's events happening all over the world, dinners and webinars. And we've had a bunch of education, like partners come in and do virtual events and stuff for us too. But no, it's all word of mouth. And it's like, not even through the leaders of the group anymore. It's just like through other people. And that's just really great. Like, I think it's really cool.
Attention property owners and hosts. If you want to keep those 5-star cleanliness ratings soaring and your guests smiling, listen up. Introducing Turno, your ultimate solution for simplifying and automating the entire cleaning management process. Say goodbye to the hassle and hello to high quality, timely turnovers that guarantee those top-rated guest reviews.
With Turno, you can automatically schedule, manage, and pay your short-term rental cleaners, ensuring a seamless and efficient operation.
And here's the best part. Turno's cleaner marketplace boasts over 55,000 vetted short-term rental cleaning pros ready to elevate your property management game.
Turno lets you manage cleaner performance with features like auto-scheduling synced directly to your booking calendar, auto-payments, photo checklists, problem reporting, and even inventory management.
But that's not all. Keep your cleaner communications organized with centralized chat and photo sharing, all in one convenient place. Plus, they've made on-the-go management a breeze with separate mobile apps tailored for both hosts and cleaners. And just in case you need a lifeline, Turno's live 24/7 customer support is always at your service. Because at Turno, they're not just a platform, they're your partner in success.
And there's a special treat for the listeners of the Alex and Annie podcast. When you try Turno and its cleaner marketplace, you'll receive a $150 Amazon gift card exclusively as our thank you to you.
So here's how it works. New users can sign up at turno.com/alexnannypodcast. Search for a cleaner in your area, connect with one or more, and then complete a marketplace cleaning. Once you see how easy and simple cleaning management can be, you'll love how much time and money you save, not to mention no more cleaning headaches. Now back to the show.
What a great thing to be a part of, to be able to be there again with the highs and the lows. And I think that's one of the things that Alex and I have learned is like, if you just surround yourself with the right people, it doesn't matter if you're having a good day or a bad day, they're going to be there to kind of help you navigate all of the ups and downs. And, and even if it's just to say like, I don't know the answer, but I'm here to hold your hand, or I'll help you find the answer. I mean, I think that's just something that so many women have lacked, not to say anything that men aren't going to help, but I think it's just it's a unique situation to try to be a mom. Doing something like this. So, I mean, I kind of got chills you talking about somebody having to say that they were going to shut their business down. Cause I imagine it's almost like losing a limb or, you know, losing a person, it's a death of something. And it's, yeah. it's a very emotional.
Yeah. It's emotional. And I think there's a lot of shame in it. Like I failed yeah. and, you know, yeah. And, but it's like these women, like there's not really any failure here, right? Like they're yeah. just learning and growing and we can support each other. And like, I just think you need a place where people are willing to take big risks and it not to be a place where you're afraid to talk about any topics,
yeah,
including like managing, like parenting teen, you know, yeah.
Yeah. I have lots of advice on that part.
But yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it comes down to community, and community can look like different things, whether it's inside a community, whether it's truly your local community, whether it's mm-hmm. your local group of friends, whether it's a mastermind or within our industry. And I just got back from Vegas a couple of weeks ago, went out there for a mastermind that had people from all different industries and mm-hmm. brilliant, brilliant people. And I just had amazing conversations. And the one thing that I came away from it with was everybody just wanted to help each other. And that was kind of the theme of, it was David Meltzer that put it on. And one of his number one things he tells people for advice is ask for help. I mean, there are people out there that will help you get somewhere faster. And in this case, in going into this group, I didn't know everybody, but everybody just wanted to help. And, you know, sometimes it takes talking about an issue around people that don't know your particular situation or they don't know your particular industry to get you to see things differently. But mm-hmm. it's good to have those different groups where you're able to just express yourself and, you know, get outside of your own head.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that exact topic recently, because I think as I've gotten older, I'm just more attuned to my own emotional well-being. And to be honest with you, that's the most important thing as a CEO, is to be able to be in a healthy place psychologically. You know, I'm very good at coping with challenges, you know, dealing with shit, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I tend to kind of swallow it and move forward. But creating a little more space and knowing when to ask for help, but like when things get really tough, it's really, really important. And like, even since January, I've actually had like, two or three times where I've been like, you know, I just like my heart hurts, or like, I was really upset about that. And I just spend some time and I don't kind of like try to brush it aside anymore. I just like, just really like sit with it for a little bit. And maybe it means I do call a friend or something, but I don't really brush it away anymore. And I think I can be so much more of a present and effective leader if I'm able to tune into that better.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And we're acknowledging through it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's like a great, cool thing that comes with age, you know, just mm-hmm. knowing
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I always talk about that, the give a crap meter, you know, at some point in your life, you just finally realize that it's just like, there's things that you need to give a crap about and there's things that you don't, and you kind of find yeah. the balance in between the two.
Yeah. Well, and you realize too, the things that used to really bother you that just don't bother you at all anymore. And the things that you used to care about that you don't really care about them. I mean, life changes, and you don't know that it's happening unless you really do what you're doing, Margo, of like, when you feel a certain way, if it's a way you haven't recently felt, why do I feel this way? You know, really looking inwards on what that emotion is inside, and, you know, determining that forward versus just kind of pushing it away and moving forward, as most of us always do.
It's kind of like an uncoping mechanism.
Right. So when we were at the women's conference, were you part of the mentorship group?
No, I wanted to be, but I was actually like speaking at so many sessions. I was like, I don't think anybody wants to hear me talk anymore.
Okay.
There's not that many women in tech in our industry who are in leadership positions. There's like Verid, and then there's Julie, and then me, and there's a couple smaller companies.
We need to have you on stage as often as possible. That's for sure.
I'm like, really? I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm a broken record, but you know, as long as I stay present, I think it's okay. But how was the mentorship thing? I want to hear more about it.
I actually am doing it and have two mentees that I'm working with, and it was so well received. And I will say that it was actually really fascinating, the sessions that were kind of surrounding it, just like the listening to people and have them talk about where they were in their space and their journey, and just lacking to have somebody that they could go to ask questions. And it wasn't necessarily having somebody that was, you know, light years ahead of them in terms of experience, but just understanding that like they're trying to survive and trying to figure it out. And they just felt like they didn't have access to people. And so I think the concept of it was so needed that people just didn't know that it was okay to ask for somebody to mentor you. Like, it's just like, mm-hmm. one of the things that I remember was striking when I first met you is you were just always like, you know, put 15 minutes on my calendar if you want to talk. Like, just, you made time for that. And that's really important. And I think that it took me a long time. And so when we started this mentoring thing for the women's conference, when it initially came up, it was that we needed to encourage people to not be afraid to ask. I think that people got to a point where they're intimidated by female leaders, because some female leaders they come across, they're very assertive, or they're whatever it be.
Yeah, that's how they lead, and that's okay too. But yeah.
It was great to be with a bunch of people that felt like they could be vulnerable around strangers and ask the questions. And so I think we matched 50 or 60 people with mentors. And the hope is that, you know, we'll do 3 months at a time. And if people want to extend, they can. And then we're supposed to have a meeting today. I wasn't able to make it, but they did like DISC assessment, so everybody could kind of get a good idea on things. And so, you know, it's just everybody that was involved in it was very passionate about wanting to share their experience. Or as I said, I didn't have any mentors when I was coming up, or any female mentors for sure. Had a lot that I looked at that could have been had they wanted to, but instead I think that the generation that I was behind coming up had been forced to be so strong and so independent that they wanted that next group to have to struggle like they did, and really weren't, not every one of them was open to saying like, okay, here's how you navigate the world in business. And so I do think that is desperately needed, but it was just more of like getting people the confidence that they could go out there and seek somebody, whether it was just for coffee or just an ongoing conversation.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Hearing you talk about it reminded me of something else that happened at the conference. Can I bring it up?
Yes, please.
I did a session around tendencies, like female tendencies in leadership. And I did it with Megan Gerard on my team. By the way, it was her first time speaking. She did an amazing job. And
how cool.
Pushed her to do it. And she was not that happy with me the whole time, but then, she did a really great job. One of the things we did was like to go through a bunch of the tendencies, but then at the end of the day, I asked people to sort of congregate in different groups around like, which of the tendencies did they feel like they may do more, they want to learn more about and explore. And there were four of them. So you would expect to see like kind of an even spread, 25% in each group, but it ended up being that 60% of the entire group went into the fourth one, which was how to conflict.
Oh, wow.
It was really interesting watching so many women who literally day to day have to deal with the most difficult situations with guests.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to have a conflict. I think that was really enlightening to me. And, you know, next year, I'll do a session all on conflict.
A conflict. Yeah.
I'll be going to that one.
Yeah. I do feel like I'm sort of qualified in that I'm married to an Israeli. We don't have the same opinions about things. He's very, very vocal. He like automatically comes right at me, like on almost usually rolls over about most things at the end of the day.
Okay. Yeah.
There's just a lot of conflict. And I come from a Midwestern background. I'm a woman. You know, there's not a lot of like learning that I did as a child. So a lot of the way that I operate today, and also in the business world, like when I'm negotiating, is all around finding my way to work in a man's world, which is business, right? Because like the systems they run business are built originally by men. But I do think that I'm a pretty decent negotiator. And I do things a little differently. And so like, I want to talk about conflict and negotiation next time. But I just wanted to share with your listeners that if anyone is kind of like struggling, like it's the same thing about the mentorship thing. It's like, if you're struggling with something, you might be surprised and learn that like a lot of other people in your industry are also struggling with the same thing. Like how great would it be to, you know, find mentors or find community around that, and also to address some of those challenges head on. And I'm happy to share some strategies that I use. I think it will be cool. So,
and I think that's a topic that if people are able to give examples of things that, you know, true examples of conflict that they're having, you know, whether it's at work or at home, that's the best way to work through that. And just to see how other people are handling those types of situations, because, you know, it's easy to say, okay, just, you know, meet the person where they're at, try and understand their side. But in the moment, I mean, that's easier said than done for a lot of people. And especially when, you know, you're depending on who you're having a conflict with, everybody, the other person operates likely different than you do. And, you know, trying to, you can't always match where they are, but how you get to a resolution, sometimes it helps just by hearing other examples of how other people have dealt with it and aligning yourself. If you see that your personalities are kind of similar, that you can see yourself in that situation the next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of interesting frameworks around thinking about like your emotional state versus like the specific tasks or like tasks at hand. Also thinking about the short term versus the long term. Also thinking about like how we are individually like conditioned, like how much harmony do each of us want to seek? It's different depending on who you are. Some people want more harmony than others. And so like, it's important to just know where you land on the spectrum. And so you know how to manage through those tricky situations. Yeah.
I need that class. So if you do offer it, make sure. I need the conflict.
Okay. Well, why don't, like, let's pitch it to Amy for next year. We can do it.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm a conflict avoider. My husband laughs because I'm a harmony driver. Like I want everybody to get along. So yeah, I could definitely use that course.
Yeah, I kind of want it to be a little bit of an extended workshop because I think it's really valuable when you can break out and do some reflection and then talk to some other people about things. So
I wanted to switch gears and go back to business. I was curious. One of the things that we've been asking people about the last few months, kind of topics that maybe aren't being talked about or need to be talked about. You're in the tech space, so you're seeing a lot of advancements and a lot of movement. And I would imagine getting through the what's important to do and what's not important to do is hard. But what do you think within the technology space is something that maybe people aren't considering that they should be considering?
I'm just going to apologize for all of technology, which is that like people in technology use words unjudiciously, you know, like they will say, oh yeah, you know, like we have API connections with with this and this and this, or like, you know, I'm glad you asked the question, Alex, about do you offer trust accounting? And I was able to answer it in a straightforward way. I think that oftentimes you're going to hear from like lots of different technology vendors, a lot of gobbledygook language, and it's really hard as a random consumer to like sort through it all.
Absolutely. Property managers are not technologists at their core. So it is very confusing.
Exactly. And like, you can kind of say things like, oh yeah, like we can totally distribute your listings on Vrbo or Airbnb. But like, if you're not like a preferred partner, you might not have full access to the API, but like translating that into like what that means to the property manager, it's just hard to explain without a lot of detail. I think one of the overlooked things though, is like how much companies are really leaning into that interoperability between software. Like if they can't, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. Like if they can't supply API documentation, if they can't tell you when it was last updated, if they can't, a technical person cannot look at it and say like, this makes sense, you know, or this doesn't make sense. Like it's probably not a very good API. But it's really hard as a property manager to understand or appreciate that until it's kind of too late. So that's like one big thing to think about. I also think that because of the way that property management businesses work, and they're all like a unique snowflake, you know, like, you know, they have this, everybody has their own unique configurations, whether it's based on the region that they're in or the type of inventory that they have, the type of owners that they have, or the type of guests that they have, or the length of stay that they have, like, all that variety, it makes it so like the optimal solution has to be one that gives you flexibility to choose.
Yes. Yeah. Right?
And the idea that you can just do it all in one software is just a dumb idea. I mean, there's no way. Yeah. We're not talking about, you know, even on the iPhone. I mean, Apple never wanted to have apps on the iPhone. Apple wanted to just control the whole thing because it'll be a great user experience. And, you know, they did do that, but like Apple Maps still really sucks. Right. And like,
yeah,
they need to have, you know, the millions of apps on the App Store. And now they invest very well in that and they're good. And they have a vetting program and everything, but like even Apple that has like billions of dollars of cash can't build an all-in-one solution. So like, how can a property management software possibly think that they could?
Right. Yeah, totally agree. Yeah. Yeah.
So like, I think, you know, the leaning into the partnerships with the OTAs and the platform piece, those are just two things, Annie, that I think are like underappreciated from outside. I'm also really curious about how all the different consolidation and investment in our industry will impact companies. And I think it's going to be a big mix. I think some investors are going to come in with the right assumptions about what is supposed to happen and what, you know, and actually like support the industry and moving forward in a healthy way. And I think other investors are going to do things that will force companies to do weird stuff, right? Try to grow too fast, or like try to get new customers that aren't actually a natural fit with the business, or merge companies together that don't make sense to be merged, mm-hmm. right? And so yeah. like, I don't like saying, you know, like all of that is bad. By all means, it's actually good. We want more investment in the industry. But I think there's going to be a big mix of like what those outcomes look like. And I'm really curious. And I'm hopeful, actually. But I'm curious about how that's all going to play out.
I would agree with you on that last point. I think that that's going to be an interesting game to watch for sure.
Right. Yeah. And it's hard, you know, that's hard even for me. I mean, it's hard for any tech company to navigate because like, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 years. Right. And like, it's hard for me to predict with any sort of like certainty how that all will play out. But I just keep going back to the fact that, you know, we have a really solid team. They love working on this product. They love working on this company. Things are going really well for the business. Like, back to basics. And yeah. what investors want is they want reliable returns. So if you're generating yeah. reliable returns with a good business, like that should continue.
Yeah. 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 Are you still raising more capital, or is it?
No, I mean, we are not really burning any cash right now. So we're yeah. not, we don't need to raise any more capital for the time being. We could decide to raise capital to fuel growth in an area that we haven't decided to do yet, but you know, nothing specifically on the horizon yeah. for us. Yeah.
That's going to be kind of nice for you. You get a little bit of a break and can focus a little bit more internally.
yeah. I think I talked to you like after this, but last January I was like sobbing with my team when we hit our first month of cash flow positive, because after working right. on this for so long and like burning
yeah.
month.
Yeah.
To finally have our first month of cash flow positive felt so incredibly good.
I bet. Like you could breathe, right?
Yeah. yeah we're right on the right track. And we don't need to worry about people's jobs. And it's a tough time out there for a lot of people. So I love being able to give people certainty about their positions.
Yeah.
Their
future. Yeah. yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Just having you as a guidepost for our industry, for what female leaders can do and are doing is just so great. And we're so pleased to be able to highlight you whenever we can.
Thank you. I love being on your show too. You two are like the top brand for sure. And I'm just happy to be a guest and see your journey.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
We appreciate you. Those first early episodes that we did, and you were certainly one of them, you know, set the tone for whether or not this was going to take off or if it was going to just go into a tailspin. So we give a lot of credit to those early guests that came and put up and helped us get this started. yeah. yeah. I think the first time we recorded with you was also pretty kind of all over the place. So we appreciate your patience. Not that it was a whole lot better today. We still had issues, but that's the life of podcasting right there. Well, if anybody wants to reach out to you, Margo, what's the best way for them to get in contact?
Just email me, margot@hostfully.com, margot@hostfully.com. Yeah, I'm happy to talk to anybody, happy to share resources. I'm good at checking my email. So
yeah. You said that the last time too.
Yeah.
I love that. That's a very good thing. There's not everybody's good at checking emails, so I appreciate that.
It's a challenge, but I try to stay on top of it.
Yeah. yeah. Well, if anybody wants to get in touch with Annie and I, you can go to alexandanniepodcast.com. And until next time, thank you for tuning in, everyone.